Well, let's pray. Lord, we pray as always that you'd open your word to us and our hearts to you. In your name, amen. Now, I'm going to say something that's shocking. I know this is going to really upset a lot of you. But sometimes when I was young and I'd come in from outside, I would sometimes forget to shut the door. I know it's a shocker. I know I did it at least once or twice. When I forgot, Mom said to me, what'd she say? Were you born in a barn? Shut the door. And I always kind of wonder what Mom would have said if I had said, you know, Mom, I was pretty young when I was born. I don't really remember. And then ask her, Mom, don't you remember? Somehow I don't think my mom would have thought that was real funny. In any event, Mom was right. It's good to shut the door, isn't it? We are looking at the I am statements of Jesus. And today we are on John 10, verse 7, where Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Or as the NIV translates the verse, the door for the sheep. So let's look at what Jesus meant when he said this, when he said he was the door, and then how he acts in this capacity for you and I. So what did Jesus mean when he said, truly, truly, I am the door of the sheep? This is one of the easy ones, because he goes on to explain it. He said in verse 7, I am the door. Then he goes down in verse 9 and says the same thing again. I am the door. And then he explains what he means. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So Jesus said that all who enter into the sheepfold through him will both be saved and find pasture. They will both find salvation and prosper spiritually. And that he understood himself to be the only door, we know because he said, I am not a door. He said, I am the door, the only one. Furthermore, he was emphatic about this because he said, truly, truly, I say to you, like, listen up. This is important. Truly, truly, I say to you. So it's pretty clear what Jesus meant, isn't it? But not only did Jesus emphatically say that he was the only door, the only means of salvation, he also said in these verses that many of the Jewish leaders in his day and those who had preceded him in the generations before him, that many of them had led people astray. In fact, he called them crooks. Verse 8, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep, the true sheep, did not listen to them. That's strong language, isn't it? But not undeserved. Immediately before this incident, the Jewish leaders had excommunicated a man who had been born blind, whom Jesus had healed. And why did they excommunicate the man? Because the man said, I was blind, but now I see, and that guy over there is the one who healed me. Grounds for excommunication, really? What a bunch of crooks. The point is this, there's only one way to be saved, and that is by turning to Jesus Christ in faith and trusting in his sacrifice. And anyone who says otherwise, no matter how exalted their position, anyone who says otherwise, at best, is misleading people. At worst, is a crook. We see this throughout the New Testament. Peter said in Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's only salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:22 through 23, the Jews demand signs and the Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who trust in Jesus Christ is the power of salvation. More and more Christians nowadays are turning their back on Jesus' death and resurrection. So let us emphatically and unequivocally state that we are saved by Jesus' sacrifice and only by his sacrifice. Jesus is wonderfully inclusive in that anyone who wants to be saved can be saved. But he's also terribly exclusive in that there's only one way to be saved, and that is by going through him. So how does Jesus act as a door for you and me? He does this by shutting out the wolves and shutting us in. Apparently, from what I read, shepherds in those days tended to pen their flocks in at night if they could. Sometimes they used caves, other times they built fences with the rocks and so on. And of course, you need a doorway so the sheep can go in and out, but they typically did not have a door. So what they would do, the shepherds would do, is at night they would lie in the doorway. And then they would become the door themselves. And that's how they shut the wolves out and shut the sheep in. Now think about some of the wolves against whom Jesus protects us. The wolves that he tends to shut out. First of all, there's the day of trouble. It's a very generic wolf that comes calling on all of us. Job said in 14:1, man who is born of woman is few of days and full of trouble. His life is filled with trials and troubles. Because God is gracious, life is filled with many things that are good. Because man has fallen, because he has sinned, life is also full of troubles. There's too little or too much rain for the crops. It's too hot or too cold. Things wear out or break down. We fight, we quarrel, we war. We get sick, we die. Then there are the wolves who hate what is right. They hate God, they hate God's word, they hate God's people, they hate good values, they hate anything that convicts them of what they are doing, because they don't want to be told that what they are doing is wrong. And so as Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed all those who desire to live a godly life, or we could even say all those who stand up for right and wrong, in either case, they will be persecuted. They will be shot down from time to time. The world doesn't want to hear what is right and what is wrong. And anytime someone is arguing with someone else and they think they're losing the argument, they will tend to either to shout down the other person or do whatever they can to make the other person shut up, which includes attacking them or attacking their families. So there's those wolves as well. And then, of course, the biggest wolf of all, Satan. Only Peter in this text calls him a lion, not a wolf. But Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Satan is hate incarnate. He wants to destroy, he wants to desecrate, twist, and then warp everything, and then destroy it. Everything that's good. He's motivated by hate. He's rabid with hate. And as Peter said, he prowls around like a roaring lion, a hungry lion. And he just wants to rip and shred his prey and devour everything in his sight. So there are plenty of wolves outside the sheepfold, outside the pen, who want to attack the sheep within. But Jesus is that door. He lies in the doorway and he shuts the wolves out. Now, sometimes he lets a wolf or two come in and nip at our heels for whatever reasons he has and for our own good. But when he does this, he walks us through those times of trials, doesn't he? And you know what I mean. How many times has God either delivered you from a time of trial or walked you through that time of trial. I cannot count the times that Christ has saved me from the wolves. On three different occasions, a person or persons tried to mug me. I was a mere second or two away from a head-on collision. I was going 60. I think the other car was going about the same. Seconds away. I was a mere second or two from being run over by a car when I was on a bicycle. It was my fault. And it was my mom that was in the car. Can you imagine how she would have felt if she ran over her son? And God protected both me and her from that. I can't say I've been persecuted. I don't think I have been. But like you, I've come under assault when I've stood up for what is right and spoken out about it. You get whacked down, don't you? Many, many times you do. And just like you, I've had those seasons of satanic attack. He always is attacking us, but there seems to be those times when he does it with additional fervor. Thankfully, Jesus protects us against the wolves. He shuts them out. So Jesus, as the door, protects us from the wolves. He shuts them out. And then he also shuts us in. We've thought about how he shuts out the wolves. Let's think now about how he shuts us in. How he protects us from ourselves. And to me, this is the more wondrous of the two. The fact is, our human hearts are prone to wander. Just like the sheep that we are. And man tends to think that he knows his own heart. We don't. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Who can really understand the deepest parts of his own heart? And there's a part of every person alive who wants to seek out and find God and submit to him. We're created in God's image. We're created to be connected with him. There's a part of each one of us that wants to do that. Then there's the other part, another part of us. The fallen part of us that just wants what we want. And that's all. And for fallen man, that's the bigger part. And so Paul says in Romans 8:7 that the mind, our heart, is essentially hostile to God. So how does God shut the Christian in and protect the Christian from himself? First of all, he recreates our heart. 2 Corinthians 5:7, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. Or as Jeremiah said, he takes the heart of stone and turns it into a heart of flesh. He recreates our heart. He takes the heart that is essentially hostile to God and gives us a heart that yearns for God. And then Ephesians 1-3, after he gives us this new heart, he seals it, puts a lock on it. In him, you also, when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. God knows how we tend to wander, so he put a lock on our heart. And that doesn't mean we will never wander from him, but it does mean that we will never wander farther than he is able to call us back to him. And because of that, we can know, as it says in Philippians 1:6, that the God who began the good work in us will bring it to completion on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. I think that's good news. I know how silly, stupid, selfish I can be, and how I am prone to wander from my Lord. Maybe you can relate to this story. I think we human beings can be so stubborn. I can relate to the story. Thomas Roy of White Bear, Minnesota, was driving along a country road outside of the cities. He came to a bridge, came to a sign that said, "Bridge out ahead." That's the road he wanted to take to get to where he wanted to go. Sign said, "Bridge out." Well, you know, sometimes that still means you're not supposed to go across, but you can. So he ignored the sign and went on. Got a couple miles further, and there it is. The bridge is out. The road is totally barricaded, and there's nothing he can do. So he turns around and retraces his route back the way he came. When he got to the sign that he saw, bridge out ahead, and now he's looking at it from the backside. When he got to the sign, on the back of the sign, which he couldn't see before, but now he can, on the back of the sign it said, "It was, wasn't it?" Are we human beings funny or what? Bridge out ahead, but we still gotta go. Thankfully, not only has Christ recreated and sealed our heart, he daily restores our heart and makes us more like him. Each day he works in our heart and makes us more like him. So we sin like David did. Then we seek restoration like David did. We pray like David did, Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. And what does God do? He does. He creates a new heart within us. He restores us. He renews our spirit. We have our ups and downs, but each day, each week, each month, Christ makes us a little bit more like him. Or as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, all of us with unveiled face, we're beholding the glory of the Lord, and we are being transformed into the same image, the Lord's image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. Each day he makes us a little bit more like Jesus. He changes us from glory into greater glory. So have you ever given much thought to how Christ has recreated you and how he has sealed you and how each day he makes you a little bit more like him? What were you like in your younger days? Do you have more peace and joy in your heart now than you did back then? I sure do. Do you value the things of God more than you did back then? Boy, I sure do. Do you find yourself passionate about who God is and the ways that he works? Do you find yourself more passionate about those things than you did back then? Again, I sure do. Do you have more peace and joy? I sure do. Are you kinder than you were back then? I think I am. Do you yearn for the day of your redemption more fervently than you did back then? I sure do. He really does change us. He really does make us each day, each month, more like him. I know how prone my heart is to wander. I'm so glad that Jesus is the door, that he's shutting the wolves out and shutting me in, keeping me safe from the evil in the world and from the evil in my heart. So when I forgot to close the door in the summer months, in those bygone days, I let flies and mosquitoes in. It's annoying, but it's just a nuisance. One summer when I was in college, I left the door open so I could air out the house that I was living in, and a squirrel wandered into the house. That was rather interesting. But all those things are just nuisance. But wolves, on the other hand, how would you like to have a pack of wolves in your house? Or to wander out into the midst of a pack of wolves? Thankfully, Jesus shuts the door. He keeps the wolves out and keeps us in. So let me end with this. Psalm 103:11-17. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As the Father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. Jesus, thank you for protecting us from the woes and for protecting us from ourselves. In your name, amen.